And as always, whatever platform you are listening, whether you're listening live or on the replay, welcome and thank you. Blunt Ninja, hey girl, welcome. You are number one today. Fair Use, you're number two. Brina, number three. Hey, Humble Dog, welcome back. Frank A, hey girl. Welcome, welcome. And as always, I hope everyone is having a wonderful time, or wonderful day rather, and time. It's been a good day for me so far. Hey, Mama Bear, welcome. Shortay V, welcome, girl. Well, it's getting back up in the hundreds here in California. Hey, Minnesota, welcome, friend. Hey, Lou, welcome. Brina, I see you're saying growth. I'm going to look at what you're grossing about. What are we grossing out about? All right. Let's see. Humble Doc says, I'm so bummed. I'm very interested in today's topic. Unfortunately, I have a meeting I must attend shortly. No problem. I appreciate you popping in. It's always 100. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. There was a time when my family spent a lot of time in Florida between your weather and the mosquitoes. Your state bird? I don't think so. Gross to the temp. Well, you know, at least here in California, we don't get the humidity the way you do back east. Back in Chicago, the humidity was like you couldn't even breathe when you walked outside. Here we just have that dry heat. Hey, TQ, welcome, son. Okay, so stand your ground laws. Do they give people license to kill? You know, with mosquitoes don't bother me. Well, mosquitoes bother me. It's like, no, I am where I go, the mosquitoes go, so. When you see me, I am wrapped up tight if I'm outside, especially if I'm outside at night. People laugh at me, but I don't care. Heiko, welcome. It's been a minute. Welcome back. And Lucy, welcome. This is your first time, whomever you may be. Welcome. Okay, so... good. Hi, Heiko. Good. So, stand your ground laws. So, you know, they vary in different states, but this is a topic that on some levels, it pisses me off. On some levels, I welcome stand your ground, but I think it's very picky as to who actually uses them. I don't think the law applies to everyone. I think some people take stand your ground just a little bit too far. I think if somebody rings your doorbell, you don't automatically assume they're a threat and shoot them through the door and then go out and shoot them again. you know, stand your ground laws. It was my understanding that stand your ground laws are, if someone is posing an immediate threat. Welcome, Caps. Hey, Petty Deb. Welcome back, sis. Welcome. I look at someone like, yes, I'm going to go to George Zimmerman and Trayvon Martin. And, you know, you look at a neighborhood watch person and they report someone who they do not think belongs in the neighborhood. They're suspicious. And the person who reported is told to stay in your car. Stay in your car. GP, welcome. You know, but this person, you know, chose to get out and confront this person. And the person who called it in was the one that had the gun. And the other person had Skittles and a juice. So he engages. They get into a scuffle. Bang, bang. A young man's dead. Go to trial. He gets off. The young man's still dead. 10 years later, he sues the family of the young man that he kills. You know, and people were saying, well, stand your ground. He was a threat. Well, first of all, he wasn't a threat. Secondly, he would not have been a threat if you just stayed where you were supposed to. So stand your ground laws to me. They're case by case, and they're very selective. They're very selective as to who can use them and who cannot. Like I said, if someone is, you know, rings your doorbell and you shoot them through the door, you know, some people do accidentally go to the wrong house. When we first moved into our house, I drove over to the house and I was on the wrong street. I'm trying to get my key into the door, wondering why my key's not working. And the gentleman who lived there, he opens the door. He's like, whoa, whoa, what are you doing? I'm like, isn't this, you know, whatever? He's like, no. I was lucky he didn't shoot me, but I went to the wrong house. I was on the wrong street. You know, and I tell him, he's like, oh no, you need to go two more blocks over. You know? So I could have been bang, bang, bang dead. So who, you know, so do they give people a license to kill? Do they give people a reason? And Blunt says, I don't necessarily think they give a license to kill, but the law does need to be revised. If someone is threatening, he should have the right to defend himself. Yes, I believe that they should have the right to defend yourself. But Blunt, are we getting into a time, and I think we're already there, that if you just look at someone wrong, they're ready to shoot you. You know, if you, how many times have, and I know I have heard this many times, you're in the wrong neighborhood. So first of all, what does that mean? Exactly. Spell it out for me. So just because you don't think I belong there, you're going to shoot me or you're going to follow me? I have been to so many different neighborhoods, so many different neighborhoods. When I was in entertainment, I used to have to drop off scripts to people's homes. I would go to Beverly Hills, to the ritzy part, to the gated part, where I'm literally standing there going back and forth with the security guard, showing them that I have scripts in my hand. Going back and, well, exactly what are you doing? And who do you want to see? You know, whatever. Until the person had to come out and say, this is mine. She's here for me. I mean, just ridiculous. But then if my counterpart, who didn't necessarily look like me, went, it was no problem. So when you say stand your ground and people are a threat, you know, do we define threat? If somebody's coming at you and they just have their hand up, like they're going to strike you with their hand, they don't have a weapon, should you be able to shoot that person? Or should you just be able to turn around and knock the crap out of them before they knock the crap out of you? No weapons needed. Lou says, doesn't give you the right time. Murder doesn't give the right to murder people. It's only supposed to be used for self-defense. But Lou, this is what I'm saying. Is it used for self-defense? And how far are people taking it? You know, so... let's see. Humble Dog says, I think stand your ground is amazing. Most people are widely misinformed of what that covers. But what does it cover? What does it cover? Because see, the law can, you know, one thing that I have learned and things that I've researched from working with attorneys, from just various things that I've done in the course of my life, when it comes to justice, the justice system is not equal for everyone. It does not work the same way for everyone. Stand your ground could be an amazing law, but unfortunately, it's flawed. It is very, very flawed, and the justice system has allowed it to be flawed. I personally think stand your ground law should be taken away. However, if someone comes into your home and they're trying to hurt you, whatever, do you have the right to defend yourself? Yes. But I think more and more we're hearing, you know, oh, I have the right to defend yourself. Stand your ground. That apartment manager who did not want these two children in the pool. An adult was not there. Day one, she slaps the little girl, turns around and slaps the little boy, pours soda all over him. Does he have the right? And then she slaps him. Did he have a right to pull out a gun and shoot her? Is that stand your ground? And Blunt says you shouldn't be able to shoot through the door only if they enter. But unfortunately, more and more people are shooting through the door. Thank you, Caps. And Humble says that's not stand your ground, though. No, I understand that. But unfortunately, the provisions of the law are just flawed. And Lou, you're right. There are nuts everywhere. There are. But see, it seems like that more and more people want to say, oh, stand your ground. This person was threatening. And unless you have it on tape, showing what actually happened, it's going to be he said, she said. But unfortunately, if the person that's dead can't say anything, are we going to take your word for what happened? And Humble Dog says, you must meet certain criteria to be covered and understand your ground. Supposedly. But everyone, stand your ground laws don't work for everyone. There are many people who have said stand your ground and had a right to stand your ground, and they're in prison. And Blunt says, when I say threat, I define it as getting physical and using threatening language. Like if someone is coming at me saying they are going to kill me, I'll defend myself if I'm able to. Right. But Blunt, you have people who if I look at you and say, you know, oh, you know, I'm throwing out slurs and just cussing up a storm, whatever. Some people may say, well, she was threatening towards me, so I shot her. Lou says the government varies so much from state to state that that's what causes the differences. Right, it is. And that's why with all of these state laws that we have, we need to have more federal laws. Just across the board, what goes in this state goes in all 50 states. But that's where, you know, that's one reason why things are so screwed up, is because it is state by state. People say, well, I understand that, you know, this is what you can do. Well, no, that's Florida. No, that's California. No, that's New Mexico. No, that's Arizona. No, you're getting it mixed up with New York. No, but in Wyoming, you know, it's ridiculous. And then Heiko says to Blunt, what if they threaten indirectly? And Heiko, Blunt wants you to define indirectly. Like if they are making it clear to me that I'm being attacked, that I'm defending myself. Humble says, all that stand your ground does is eliminate the inherent duty to retreat. Well, let's see, Heiko says, for example, if they firing a gun, testing a gun, if it's working or not, that's clear. Wait, Heiko, are you saying that if someone is saying that they're testing a gun, I mean, as long as you're not pointing that gun at me and you're trying to test it, so how would I perceive that as a threat if you're testing something? And if you're testing a gun, you should be in a area where you won't hurt anyone. You should be on a firing range or somewhere where, you know, no one would feel that they're threatened. So I don't know if that was a good example to use. So I don't know. I just think that people are using stand your ground in some cases, not all, as a license to kill, as a reason to say, you know, they were threatening. I mean, come on. How many times, you know, do you see people calling the police on imaginary, oh, he was threatening me, she was threatening me, she, you know, they're threatening me, and the person's like standing like 12 feet away filming them. You know, so what is a threat? Is it a perceived threat, or is it a real threat? Because when people pick up the phone to call the police on people, you're setting it up where that person you're calling the police on, that will be their last day alive on earth. When you have a perceived threat and you have a gun and you're saying stand your ground, yes, if someone is threatening you, yes, you have the right to defend yourself. But to me, you better make damn sure that it's a threat that's going to hurt you or your loved one, a child or whatever. Your cat, your dog, whatever. Hey, Power Girl, welcome. No, they lying. They not testing. They threatening. It happens here. Well, Heiko, I'm confused. How can you say, again, if someone is telling me they're testing a gun and you're pointing it at me, I would perceive that as a threat. So how anyone can even say, there's no way that I would say I'm testing a gun while I'm waving it around people, whatever. I mean, if you're not pointing the gun at me and you're like, oh, I'm testing whatever, I'm seeing that as threatening because it could go off. And Lou says, you never call the cops where I come from. Heiko says they want to make you fear. Okay. They want to make you afraid. Okay. Okay. Well, you know, Lou, unfortunately, cops get called on a lot of people and it doesn't end well. It does not end well. And as I said, Stan, your ground laws don't apply to everyone. And for some people, you pretty much have to walk around with a camera constantly just to prove your side. But I do believe Stand Your Ground does give people license to kill. I think it does give your neighbor down the street who doesn't like you, because, you know, your kids are always riding their bike across their grass, can say, well, you know, he was threatening, he was coming at me, boom, boom. Yes, Lou, it is unfortunate. It is unfortunate that we live like that, but unfortunately that's the way it is until the world is totally blown up. You know, so hey, humble dog, welcome.
Hey, thanks for answering my call. I appreciate it.
No problem.
How are you doing today? How's your life?
Everything is going well for me. I have no complaints whatsoever. I woke up this morning and I feel blessed.
Awesome. I'm happy to hear that. I just, you know, if I may for a minute, can I kind of quantify my understanding of Stand Your Ground?
Sure.
Okay, so it's not just a threat, right? It has to be a threat of level to, quote, grave bodily harm is what the law says. And that's defined as anything severe enough to list you in either A, critical condition in the hospital, or B, take your life. So that's standard number one as far as the threat level goes, right? And Stand Your Ground itself is not just simply awarded to you. You have to qualify for Stand Your Ground. And if there is a defensive shooting that takes place, they hold you to other standards, ability, opportunity, jeopardy, and last resort. And all of those criteria under law have to be met to qualify for Stand Your Ground. So everybody thinks it's like their choice. Like if they feel threatened, they can stand their ground. Not true. It's a very complicated law.
Well, see, and this is what I'm saying. I mean, unless, you know, it's defined to the point where people really understand it, we shouldn't have it. Because California, we don't have Stand Your Ground laws here. Let me ask this. So, you heard about the story. It was on the news a couple of months ago where the 16-year-old boy was going to pick up his little brother from someone's house, and he walked into their house and the guy shot him. He shot the boy, and then when the boy fell onto the porch, he shot him again. Mm-hmm. So my thing is, the boy didn't die. Thank goodness. But okay. It was, again, the fact where he went to the wrong house. And mm-hmm. at this particular house, you know, every time he picked up his brother, he walked into the house.
Sure.
So I don't know what happened on that particular day that he just went to the wrong house, whatever, but is that a Stand Your Ground? And the guy who shot him said, well, Stan, this is what I'm saying. So there was no threat. The boy was in your house, but was he threatening you?
Well, where that's a different law. So now we're talking about Castle Doctrine. And in Castle Doctrine, there has to be forced entry made. They don't have to do any kind of physical harm to you. You don't have to wait to be physically threatened. The law provision says that if they force entry into your home, they had no further good intentions. However, okay, if your door is
okay, but then okay, go,
unlocked,
go, go,
and they just simply walk through, you are not covered under Castle Doctrine, nor Stand Your Ground.
Okay, see, I was just about to say that. So what if it was no force, you know, no one broke down your door, they just walked into your house?
Yep, not covered.
You know, and you have a lot of places. I mean, I hear a lot of people who live down south. I hear a lot of people say, oh, we leave our door unlocked and our neighbors just walk in, you know, whatever. So, I mean, so you know, again, people do want to use stand your ground as, and I do believe, I'm sorry, I do believe that stand your ground give people a license to kill, or at least a license to shoot.
Yeah, and you know, I guess I take pride on being in, and you brought up a great point, how every area has different laws, right? And that is scary, and unfair, right? Like, everybody should be playing by the same rules. But, you know, I take pride in understanding those laws. It happens to be something I do. I'm actually a certified instructor in this. I understand how complicated these laws are, and that's where I agree. That's where the danger is.
Okay, so TQ says, so is this a form of trespassing?
Yes, but trespassing in itself does not give you any kind of inherent right to inflict bodily harm on someone.
And once again, that's where I'm saying that, you know, people use this law, or the first thing they want, well, you know, the first thing they want to say is, I felt threatened. How did you feel threatened?
With the mere presence of a threat, there is not a single law on the books that allows you to use any kind of physical harm or lethal harm to another human being just for the mere presence of feeling a threat, right? And that's where we get down to the criteria of that law: ability, opportunity, jeopardy, and last resort. Ability. Did the bad guy have the ability to impose said grave bodily harm? Yes or no? It's not just enough that they're there and they're bigger than you, or, you know, any of those things. They have to have a reasonable ability to actually hurt you. It can't just be a feeling you have, right? Opportunity. They have to have the opportunity to implore that said grave bodily harm. Meaning that if they're at the end of the block holding a pocket knife and yelling at you, it may be uncomfortable, but they can't hit you with that pocket knife. They can't swing their arms around and stab you. You can't pull out your gun and shoot them, even if they're holding a knife and yelling, right? The law doesn't cover it. Jeopardy, a panel of your sane and rational peers have to come to the same conclusion you did of objective one and two before you qualify for stand your ground. And the last opportunity is what is it, was there any other options, right? Because otherwise, if there was another option, like, let's say you walk up to my house and we're standing outside and we get into a conflict, and I have the opportunity to walk away from you and I choose to stay and engage in a conflict, I am no longer covered under stand your ground law. Now, under the law, I'm a mutual combatant, and I'm not covered under those same rights. So it's not as freebie as everybody thinks it is. Everybody thinks, hey, as long as you feel threatened, you can do whatever you want. And the law doesn't say that.
So, okay. So let me ask this. I'm not sure. I'm not asking your age or anything. So I don't know how old you are, but are you
familiar? I'm 40.
Okay. You're 40. So you may remember this. You remember the Latasha Harlan's murder or killing back in 1991?
Not specifically. I apologize. Can you refresh my memory?
Okay. So she was a 15-year-old girl living in Los Angeles, and she went into a Korean store, and she picked up a can of soda, and I don't know, she has some M&Ms or something. I don't know, some chips or whatever. And the shop owner, apparently this particular store had been robbed many times. And the store owner, you know, she started an argument with Latasha, saying, you know, you better buy this or get out, whatever. And Latasha called her the B word, whatever. And she put the soda and whatever else she had in her chips or whatever, she put them on the counter. And she called the woman the B word again, turned around, and was walking out. The woman shot her in the back of the head. Okay. So she says, the woman immediately says, well, this black girl was threatening me. And when they looked at the tape, they saw that she put the she put the stuff back on the counter. And not only that, in her hand, she had the money to pay for her, for what she was going to get. I guess she was just like, you know what? I'm fed up with this woman. I'm just leaving. Here's your stuff. I'm leaving. Right. So, the woman ended up getting, probation. And of course,
Jesus,
the community went crazy.
Rightfully so.
The store was burned down. The Korean community, blamed the, Black patrons who were supporting those stores for ruining their business, you know, whatever. Like, you shot this girl. You wouldn't expect us to do. We're still supposed to come here and shot. You know, it was like, you know, she said that, you know, she was threatened and she got off that, you know, and I blame the jury for this. And this is where I say that the legal system is just so broken. It's like, we have all these laws that just don't apply to everyone. You know, that was murder. You murdered this woman. This girl.
Yes.
You know, and people still, you know, in the LA area, people still remember her. That's a sore spot. You know, so when I look at the people like the Trayvon Martins and all these other people who, I'm sorry, you were not a threat. You chose to engage.
I agree with those cases.
You chose to engage. So why do you think, and I'm putting you on the spot here, you don't have to answer if you don't want to.
That's okay.
Why do you think the jury let them off?
Honestly, because a lot of the gun cases that I've seen, or that I've researched or talked to the DA about, or the ADA, it comes down to jury instructions. And what's very, very sad in this country is the way that those are written. And that usually, you know, through negotiation process between defense counsel and prosecution, they agree on what these jury instructions are. And a lot of times the jury is faced with very, very stark differences. There's not always appropriate sentences, and so they get something stupid like convicting someone, and this is a hypothetical here, I'm not citing a case law, but they get a hypothetical between, you know, probation and life in jail, and they don't have an option of a plan B in between that really is appropriate. And so the juries kind of get a little pushed into making an extreme decision. And I think that that's sad and unfair. I agree that the legal system is the big loophole here. The way that the law is written in this particular case situation is very thorough. It's just what's not is the way that it's carried out and the way that the judgments are handled. So that I agree with you 100% on, that it's being used inappropriately in a lot of places.
You know, and TQ, he also says, you know, they started looting and the store owners started shooting from the roof. So is looting a reason to shoot someone, in your opinion?
If I have to give a direct one word answer to that, then I'll say no. But there are circumstances where I think that that could change, right? So if I'm locked in my store, right, and you're forcing entry with an angry mob into my store, I'm going to assume that when you get to me, things aren't going to get more pleasant. And I think I do have a right in that situation to defend myself, right? Do I think that if you're in my store, looting my store and robbing it, and I'm not there, or I'm being ignored completely and you're just taking my things, do I have a right to your life? Absolutely not.
Okay. All right. And Blunt, I have to disagree with you. I understand what you're saying. It's destroying your own community, but there's a history behind it. And looting did not start with people of color. I'm just going to say it did not start with people of color. It started with the people who, well, that's a whole different show. But anyway, you know, so, you know, but I mean, I'm just saying that, you know, if you're looting my store and I'm not in it, do I have, again, I don't have the right to shoot you from the rooftop because you're posing no threat to me. The only thing that's happening is you're stealing my stuff.
Correct.
You know, so you know, that this is why I'm saying that people want to pick up a gun, you know, and start shooting people for no other reason. And Lou said, you know, the police will shoot someone with a knife, just like the young lady, I can't remember, Brown, 2 summers ago, where she was in a confrontation with some girls on the block, whatever, and it's still up in the air whether she called the police or someone else called, but they were ganging up on her, and one girl, you know, they were coming at her, and she was going after this, the one who was being threatened had a knife, and she was going after this other girl with the knife. The police came, and the police shot her. You know, and I thought that was overkill, because I'm like, okay, if you're going to shoot her, you can shoot her in the arm, you can shoot her in the leg. I mean, did it have to be a shoot to kill thing when we're talking about a knife? She didn't have a gun where she could have just pulled the trigger and shot someone. She had a knife. So, you know, even with the police, and I know they're trained to, you know, shoot to kill, but I don't know. There's just, you know, this is where it gets into these gun laws in this country are just so screwed up. You know, I'm all for carrying guns. If you want to own guns, own them. I'm not against them at all. But I don't think crazy people should have guns. And I think if you have a gun, you should not, you know, stand behind a law as a reason to shoot somebody just because you could or just because you can.
Well, and if I may, you know, I'm going to be honest here and transparent and tell you that, unfortunately, I wish I had different views, but I am not necessarily the biggest supporter of police. I want to be. I wish I could get behind it more, but the injustices are just too great, and the regulation of the profession is not sufficient enough, and a lot of terrible injustices happen. But I will say, though, police or any reputable firearms instructor, I've never heard anyone instruct shoot to kill. It's shoot to stop the threat. And you continue that until the threat stops. Now, I don't have an issue with the outcome of someone defending themselves. I do have an issue with the inappropriate use of that force. And I think the punishments should be heavy and swift. In the cases of knives, it's been proven that within 21 feet.
We lost you, Hameldot. We lost you at, it's been proven within 21 feet.
Yep. If someone has a knife in their hands and they're within 21 feet of you, statistically speaking, you will not be able to deploy your firearm quicker than they can reach you. So what the law says is that the mere act of them standing there with the knife does not pose significant enough threat to use deadly force until they start forward motion towards you with that threat within 21 feet.
Okay, so you said that, I'm going back to the police when you said that they can shoot until the threat is eliminated.
Stop. Yep.
I mean, but come on, humble dog. I mean, you have these police that are, I mean, shooting someone 16, 17, 8, 8, 8. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Agreed. You know, relented. Yes.
It just doesn't make any sense. And you know, I feel the same way you do. I have friends who are cops. I grew up with people, you know, who were cops. I have neighbors that I like that are cops, and we go back and forth, you know, whatever. And you know, it's unfortunate that the few have made it bad for everyone else. But you know, I see a cop now, and it's like,
you have to be concerned and maybe even a little afraid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You know, and you know, when I first met my husband and I had come out to California, this was just on a visit. I had not moved out here yet. And he was telling me how when he drives through Beverly Hills and other certain places, he breaks out into a sweat. And I had this conversation with him again, probably about a year or so ago. And we were just talking because, you know, we were talking about my son and, you know, things that he was going to do and where, you know, he's driving and, you know, he's still doesn't like driving and all this other stuff. And I said, do you still? And he said, break out into a sweat. He says, every time a cop is driving around me, I break out into a sweat. Sure. This is a grown man. You know, but I know other grown men that break out into sweats. And my thing is for me, I'm not concerned that when my son is out, that he'll get into an accident, that he'll get hit by a car, get hit by a bus. I'm concerned if he gets pulled over by the police. That's my concern. My concern is when it's like I cannot go to sleep until I know everybody, my husband and my son, are at home. And when I travel, you know, I'm like, where are you? Are you home? I need to know that you are home. Because that is my fear, the popo.
Yeah,
that,
I'm with you.
That is my fear. It's not, like I said, it's not that he, you know, got into an accident because he was making a left-hand turn and he was wrong or somebody or drunk driver. My thing is the popo. And with guns and police, in my opinion, they do have their own code of staying your ground. But for them, it's legal. They can shoot first and then prove later. And usually they get off. So I see people now who use those laws as a license to kill. So people may disagree with me when I say this, but I do believe that it does give people license to kill. And unfortunately, the targets are usually one particular type of people.
Is it fair to say, because I don't disagree with you. I mean, I'm over here nodding my head with you in agreement, right? Like I wish even just for debate purposes, I could say, well, what about this, Solid? But I'm with you. I agree. But isn't it fair to say, though, that most, not all, most of the problems when it comes to those lethal shootings, though, really are police involved? Like, there aren't as many. There are still tragic, horrible, hateful crimes that are done under the guise of self-protection. But if I had to blanket it, I am much more concerned about the police officers misusing their, quote, power and authority, right, than I am my neighbor. And that's unfortunate. That's backwards. But I'm just telling you how I feel. Does that run any kind of truth with you?
Yes, absolutely. Because I think that when police are called, you're escalating the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, especially when it's a mental health issue. When someone is having a mental health issue, you don't call the cops. I mean, we've had people who have been killed over mental health issues, and you know, and it's not because they don't know how to handle it. And usually, they're making fun of that person.
Yep.
You know, and you call, and that's why I'm saying that when people decide to call the police, when those Karens out there want to feel entitled, and you're calling the police over a perceived threat, when you're saying this person doesn't belong in this building, while you're following them onto the elevator, mm-hmm. you know, no. No, you mm-hmm. you know, you are causing the mere fact of that person not being able to make it home that night because of what you did. And the thing that kills me is all these people who call the police. What have happened to them? Do they just kind of fade into the background and say, oh, well, they should never be. I mean, it's like, what happens to them? I believe there should be Karen laws.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, I am totally serious. I think there should be Karen and Miss Ann and Miss Becky laws, whatever, that no, you cannot do that because you feel entitled because you don't want certain people in your space. But usually you're the one invading their space.
Right. Or have no basis for your complaint. Right.
Right.
And I enjoy watching, you know, I'll be honest, I enjoy watching some of the First and Fourth Amendment auditors and the folks that go out there and kind of challenge the community and challenge the officers to see the decisions they'll make. And do I think it's baiting the cops to some degree? Yes. But I like the fact that there's being more light shown on how horrible the situation is. And you see in a lot of these videos, you know, you go back and you get to hear the 911 call and it's completely false. It's not even close to what the person was doing. And then the cop shows up and asks zero questions. They just go, well, the 911 caller said this and the dispatcher said that. So I'm going to assume you're a bad guy. And from moment one, you make the wrong decision and you can die. You can die just by challenging a cop the wrong way. And that's terrifying to me.
It is. You know, and that's why, you know, that's why I say that there need to be Karen laws and blunt. I've been reading your comments. I know that you never said about, looting started with people of color. I just wanted to clarify that looting did not start with people of color. And yes, white people do loot too. And looting actually started with them. So
it did. The Boston Tea Party, you know, first noted case of looting, and that was all white folks doing it, and you know specifically some special interest groups, and they pretended to be minorities, right? They dressed up like the Indians, but it was white people doing it. We started that nonsense.
You know, and yeah, so and TQ, I understand what you're saying, but there's a history there. Of why that happens. You know, so I mean, I don't know. Humble, I appreciate you coming up on the panel, because I've enjoyed, you know, just talking to you and everything. But you know, I think there's just so many changes need to be made. It needs to be made with law enforcement. It needs to be made with the way laws are written. It needs to, you know, society needs to change their way of thinking. You know, but that's going to be hard because people are going to think what they want to think. Some people are just going to be perceived as a threat. Some things are just going to be perceived as a threat. I mean, hell, your dog, if you have depending upon the type of dog you have, people automatically assume like, oh my God, there's a pit bull. You know, now sure. It's pit bulls. You know, back in the 70s, it was Dobermans, and then it turned in, and then it was the Rottweilers and, you know, what have you. So it's like, you know, people don't even know. And pit bulls are some of the sweetest dogs ever. It's not the dog. It's the person. It's not the gun. It's the person.
100%.
It's always the people. And that's why I say when God decides to get rid of everything, which I think should be soon, he should blow everything up, put us at the bottom, and put animals at the top. Maybe the world next time around won't be so jacked up. I mean, you don't have dogs going around talking about stand my ground. You know, I peed here first, so I'm gonna beat you up. No. See, that goes hand in hand with store owners setting fires to own stores collect. This is true. Insurance money that Lou was talking about. Blunt says, I understand making a statement. I fully support it, but it saddens to see the community torn apart by its own people. They are only hurting themselves. Thank you, everyone, for liking the show. TQ says to Lou, rights don't mean that. It's more of a cry for help. They might be going the way about it because some people don't know any better, didn't know the proper steps or process to get hurt in fashion. But you know what, TQ? You also have a community where help was requested and they were ignored. And there was a time when we didn't need your help. We were fine. But the looters came anyway. And they bombed and they burned and they tortured and they raped until this is where we are now. And that's what people don't understand. That's what, Lou, I'm going back to Florida. That's what is trying to be erased, the history. So, yes, Lou, I mean, yes, a kid was throwing out his trash and harassed by cops. I mean, seriously? Seriously? You know, so, I mean, so if you have a concealed to carry permit and the police see it, is that a reason for them to shoot you if they're pulling you over? I mean, Philandro Castile was shot because he voluntarily said, I have a concealed weapon. I have a concealed to carry. And the police perceived it as a threat and they shot him. I don't know. Let's see. TQ says the blunt, that's where oppression comes in, especially out here in the LA area in the 80s and 90s. Some were just not educated to know how those steps to take. You know what, TQ? I don't even think education has anything to do with it. I think it's just the fact that some people were in a situation where others could take advantage, because a lot of people come into the Black neighborhoods to fulfill their American dream. The Koreans come there, the Arabs go there, the Indians go there, some white people go there, all come to us for their American dream, for us to spend our money. But we're not supposed to fight back. We're supposed to just take it. So I don't think education has anything to do with rage. You know, and yeah, Brina, I believe there should be Karen laws. You know what? And Blunt, they are, Pitbulls are the sweetest things. The Cujos. You know, but Cujo was a Saint Bernard. That was a good movie. Definitely sooner than later. Yes, I do believe so. Stand my bark. Yes, stand my bark. Dogs, exactly. Dogs don't go around, you know, killing people and shoot, you know, I don't know. My dogs stand their ground too, especially the little tiny one. She's the worst. Yes, the government is. You know, so I mean, I don't know, y'all. There's a lot of different views that people have. You know, but I for one think that hey Shorty, welcome back. I for one think that stand your ground laws give people license to kill. But that's just me. Hey bro, welcome. I didn't see you pop in. You know, but we talked about a lot today. We got a lot covered. So no more carry, you know, and that's another thing. It's like, you know, with not having in Florida, not having, you know, a need for a permit, you know, that's just, I mean, it's like anybody can have a gun. So I don't know, you know, bad laws will produce bad outcomes. And unfortunately, innocent people are in the crossfire. But that's just me. That's just me. So anyway, y'all, we're about up to the hour mark here. We're at 55 minutes. Yeah, we touched on that, bro. We touched on that. Thank you, Lou. So again, I will not have a show tomorrow. I am going to see, who am I going to see tomorrow? I am going to see Gladys Knight and Peebo Bryson at the Hollywood Bowl. So I will be there tomorrow. Well, not during the showtime, but just getting out there and everything. So, but I will be back on Thursday, and Thursday will be open discussion. We can talk about anything, you know, you come up on the panel, behave yourself. Oh Lord. Oh boy. I'm just laughing. I'm sorry. I looked at Shorty's name. I just started laughing and smiling. How you doing, Shorty?
I'm good. How are you? Hey, just a chaotic mess over here. Right now.
I am good. Well, if you are around on Thursday, I welcome you.
Yes. Are you talking about next Thursday?
This Thursday, the 17th.
Okay.
We need a baby.
I'm going to be here.
Okay.
I'm going to be here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I am going to wind it up here, guys. I usually don't like playing songs that have the N-word in it, but Tupac is the only one that I listen to that I will, you know, take that from, whatever, so to speak. But this is a song that I really, really like, and I think it applies to today. So with everyone, again, thank you for popping up. Shorty, thanks for coming up on the panel. And yes, Humble yeah. Dog, I know he's not up here anymore, but thank you for coming up and having a great conversation with me. And everyone in the panel, thank you for all of your input. And as always, thank you for liking the show. And Blunt, again, I did not mean to take your words out of context. So, Eric, welcome. But here we go. Here's Tupac.
See no changes. Wake up in the morning and I ask myself, is life worth living? Should I blast myself? I'm tired of being poor and even worse, I'm black. My stomach hurts, so I'm looking for a purse to snatch. Cops give a damn about a Negro. Pull a trigger, kill a nigga, he's a hero. Get it back to the kids, who the hell cares? One less hungry mouth on the welfare. First ship them, don't let them deal with brothers. Give them guns, step back, watch them kill each other. It's time to fight back, that's what Huey said. Two shots in the dark, now Huey's dead. I got love for my brothers, but we can never go nowhere unless we share with each other. We gotta start making changes. Learn to see me as a brother instead of two distant strangers. And that's how it's supposed to be. How can the devil take a brother if he's close to me? I let it go back to when we played as kids, but then it changed. That's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Damn it.
Oh, come on. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
I see no changes. All I see is racist faces. Place hate makes disgrace to races. We under, I wonder what it takes to make this one better place. Let's erase the wasted. Take the evil out the people, they'll be acting right. It's both black and white, and smoke a crack tonight. And the only time we chill is when we kill each other. It takes guilt to be real, time to heal each other. And although it seems evident, we ain't ready to see a black president. It ain't a secret, don't conceal the fact. The penitentiary's packed and it's filled with blacks. But some things will never change. Try to show another way, but you're staying in the dope game. Now tell me what's a mother to do. Being real don't appeal to the brother in you. You gotta operate the easy way.
I made a G today.
But you made it in a sleazy way. Sell it back to the kid.
I gotta get paid.
But hey, well, that's the way it is. Come on, come on.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Hear me.
Oh, come on. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
We gotta make a change. It's time for
people to start making some changes. Let's change the way we eat, let's change the way we live, and let's change the way we treat each other. You see, the old way wasn't working, so it's on us to do what we gotta do to survive. And still I see no changes. Can a brother get a little peace? It's war on the streets and a war in the Middle East. Instead of war on poverty, they got a war on drugs so the police can bother me. And I ain't never did a crime, I ain't have to do. But now I'm back with the facts, giving it back to you. Don't let them jack you up, back you up, crack you up, and pimp smack you up. You gotta learn to hold your own. They get jealous when they see you with your mobile phone. But tell the cops they can't touch this. I don't trust this. When they try to rush, I bust this. That's the sound number two. You say it ain't cool. But it raised no fool. And as long as I stay black, I got a stage strap. And I never get to lay back, cause I always got to worry about the payback. Some buck that I roughed up way back, coming back after all these years. Rat-a-tat-tat-tat-tat.
That's the way it is. That's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. Things will never be the same. That's just the way it is. Oh yeah.
Something will never change.
I love that song. And Tupac, I mean, just what a loss. We are losing the good ones, y'all. We are losing the good ones too soon, too much too soon. Absolutely before his time. But anyway, everyone, welcome Jimmy, Mr. A. Thank you guys for coming again. No show tomorrow. I will be back here on Thursday with open talk. Anything goes within reason, still be respectful. But anyway, enjoy the rest of your day or evening where you are, wherever you are in the world, and I will see you back here on Thursday. Bye.